Welcome to the Birds Up Podcast, brought to you by the UTSA Alumni Association. We are your source on what's going on at the university, the Alumni Association, and all things Runner Nation. Because now and forever, we are Roadrunners.
Welcome, Roadrunner Nation, to another episode of the Birds Up Podcast, a podcast by Roadrunners for Roadrunners. I'm one of your hosts, Josh Champanon, and with me is the amazing and always busy Melissa Adame. Hey, Melissa.
Well, I like that intro. Hey, Josh.
Seriously, you're all over the place, and you were all over the place last week because it was homecoming.
It was.
Lots of activities going on campus, lots of sports in action with homecoming games, and what a football game it was. We'll get into more details on all the stats and everything, but a huge win for the Roadrunners and some amazing uniforms that they were sporting on the field.
Oh, I absolutely love them. They need to wear those all the time. The helmet.
The helmet, yeah. That was really cool. Was really excited to see them not only wear the uniforms, but get the big win.
Can I just say, our student section was loud and proud, and they stayed all game for the most part, but it was really cool to see for homecoming. So it was really, really nice.
We've had some struggles this season, but it all came together. Offense, defense did well, and we're going to need it because this next three game stretch is going to be really tough.
Yeah, maybe this is the reset we've been looking for, right?
Absolutely. So hopefully you got to either go to the game or participate in other homecoming festivities. There was Best Fest, saw a lot of really great pictures, looked like a great time. And then we had the Hall of Fame class induction as well.
Yes.
So congratulations to the four inductees, bringing our Hall of Fame overall class to 11 inductees. So speaking of honoring people, there was actually two really cool unveilings on campus in the last week or so.
Yes.
We have two brand new statues, one of Rowdy, the mascot, not just the Roadrunner that we see in the Sombria, but actual Rowdy, the mascot, in a massive ring that he's sitting right next to, which is a great picture opportunity for sure.
Yeah. So it's basically a reminder to all students to have something to strive for, but it's also something for all Roadrunner alumni who have their rings to come home and take a picture with it and celebrate. But I think really, I love the fact that it serves as a reminder for the students as they're earning their degrees that they have something to aim for. And the detail on that statue is incredible.
Rowdy himself weighs 400 pounds, not the actual mascot, the statue of Rowdy. And then the ring, it's massive. It's 80 pounds.
Yeah.
It's a huge ring. I think I read somewhere if that was an actual ring with diamonds and everything, it'd be worth like $2.5 million.
But wow.
It's just a statue, so don't try to steal
it. Don't get any ideas,
But shout out to people behind it. I know Russell was a big proponent of that.
Yes, kudos to them, because I know it was a long time in the planning and the making, and they really, really worked super hard on that. So congratulations to them.
Absolutely. And just makes the ring ceremony that we do just a little bit more special, another opportunity for graduates or about to be graduates to take pictures and celebrate their achievement, because it is a huge achievement getting that degree.
Yeah, for sure.
Another statue that was unveiled was a name that has become well known around campus, the Carlos Alvarez statue, for all his philanthropy work and the stuff he's done for the university. I had the opportunity to hear him speak when they named the College of Business after him. And we had Harvey Najem there as part of the unveiling of the statue and commemoration of Carlos Alvarez.
Yeah, such powerhouses, but a beautiful tribute to Mr. Alvarez, who has done so much. But I like what President Amy said. It will say to all students who pass by now and forever that all things are possible. So that just does represent another statue to motivate and inspire students while they're on campus. But really, it's a beautiful homage to him.
Absolutely. And I have no doubt we'll probably get a Harvey Najem statue at some point for all that he does. He had a great speech at the gala in August. So really nice to see all the support that's coming for UTSA from philanthropists, but the Be Bold campaign celebration.
Yes. Kudos to Carl Miller and all of his team and everyone who participated, because I know they had a committee of different people around town, leaders, staff, such as Russell also, who participated in this campaign. But they reached their goal of surpassing $575 million 2 years early. Before their deadline.
Yeah.
Isn't that incredible?
It's amazing. And so thank you to everyone that participated, supported over the last 7 years, 8 years.
I think it launched in 2017.
Yeah. So thank you to everyone that got involved, especially to people like Harvey Nagem that made this possible. And of course, Carlos Alvarez for all that he did.
Him and his family at the event, they actually announced another $5 million gift to the university. So again, just another example of their generosity and the commitment that his family has.
Named the College of Business after him, right?
Correct.
And College of Business just got recognized by Princeton.
So the College of Business is one of 213 institutions nationwide that was recognized as best on-campus MBA program. And this is an elite group, and it's by Princeton. So another accolade for the School of Business.
Absolutely. And I think all of this that's been happening lately ties in very well with our guest for this week. She is an alum of the College of Business.
Yes.
Talking about sports, right? She's an athlete, and she's definitely getting a lot of recognition for the things that she's doing as a local boxer. So we were able to speak with Amanda Sendejo and see her story and very humble beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely not easy being a woman in such a male-driven sport like boxing.
Yes.
And she's doing some really, really cool things.
Yeah, this is an exciting interview, and she's such an inspiration at such a young age, but she's accomplished so much. Such a powerhouse. She's motivated. She's inspiring. She's meeting all of her goals, and it's all due to her hard work and commitment, and then also really her time at UTSA.
And you can actually see her box coming up in a few weeks at Techport. So be on the lookout for that. We'll have more information in the show notes. But without further ado, let's get to our interview this week with Amanda Sendejo.
All right. Leading up to this, we've had the pleasure of getting to interview a lot of really cool UTSA athletes,
mm-hmm.
a lot of really cool UTSA coaches. Not once have we had a professional boxer in here. And I don't think most people know that UTSA has a professional boxer in their ranks.
I know.
So in doing the research for all this, she definitely has the best social media pictures, because I don't have any pictures of me punching his body in the nose and then bleeding all over the place. But today we welcome class of 2023, Amanda Sendejo. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Exciting times. Also, one of the greatest pictures I've seen is a boxer post-fight with Rowdy on.
Oh, I know. I saw that. I was like, that is our version of Rocky right there.
Yeah, I was awesome. So excited. I said my first fight, I wanted to wear all UTSA. So blue and orange, put the bird on the chest. And
so
yeah,
cool.
I just rocked it.
So
yeah,
cool.
And we will reference that in the show notes, because everybody needs to see that.
Everybody needs to see that for sure. I would venture to say that it needs to be the episode graphic, but you know.
Okay. I'm in agreement. I like that. I like it.
Well, Amanda, a lot to talk about, obviously. You know, I am truly fascinated to speak with any athlete that takes it to the next level, but at the same time, it's such a violent sport as well. And the amount of work that goes into that preparation just for the fights and everything else before we record, we were talking about, oh my gosh, like, how do I have an excuse of saying that I don't have enough time for anything when you have an athlete like Amanda who's got to go through all the things that we're going to talk about here. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about where you're from and what brought you to UTSA.
Yeah, so I'm originally from Floresville, Texas, if y'all know where that's at. It's
a
little south of San Antonio. I usually describe it to people, like, if you're going to go to the beach, it's the first town on the left. So kind of just, I came really familiar with the south side of San Antonio. It was kind of like all I knew. So just back and forth, Floresville, south side. And then growing up, you know, I have two older brothers. So I'm the only girl, two older brothers. Grew up around the gym and whatnot. And when they graduated, their plan was to go to college, but they ended up not going through with it. So I was the one. Parents never been to college or anything. So first gen student.
Wow,
so
nice.
It kind of was a lot to take on at first. Like, I knew this is what I wanted to do. And besides the whole boxing, like, I grew up playing basketball, cheer. Like, I was just a multi-sport athlete, cross-country, track. And I knew I just wanted to go to college. That was, like, the first thing I knew.
Mm.
So graduated high school, and I had interest in wanting to play ball in college. But being 5'2", short, from Floresville, we don't get a lot of scouts or anything out there. Like, mm-hmm. you really had to do the work. That would mean, like, coming to San Antonio, playing on AAU teams, mm-hmm. which, being from Floresville, big family, we didn't really have, like, the needs or, like, the resources to do that, drive a whole hour after school and stuff. So I just stayed playing ball in Floresville. And then growing up, like I said, my brothers had boxed as well. So they trained. One of them competed. He had a lot of fights. So I grew up kind of just running around the gym like the little girl with her brother, just running around, sitting on the chair, running around while he was training. The other one trained as well. And I'd always said I never wanted to do it. I was like, no, like I want to play basketball. Yeah. Like basketball was my first love. So grew up. And then eventually, I think I was about like 10 years old. And I told my dad, like, I want to box. And he was like, for sure, at that age and that time of day and age, there was no girls really fighting. Like it was kind of unheard of. And if there was a girl in the gym, she would come like once and you like never see her again.
Yeah.
You know, they just came as far.
They get popped in the nose once.
Yeah,
like, this
and then never happened again. Yeah. Like it just was
more like me.
It was very unheard of. And so I was like a little tomboy growing up. And so my dad was like, no, like you need to stick to what you already made commitments to, basketball and cheer. And we grew up in a family like whatever you do, you know, you don't quit. Like you can finish out the season regardless if you're upset with your playing time or whatever. Like you work hard and you're going to finish out the season.
Mm-hmm. I like
so, yeah, being 10, he was like, no, like you've already made commitments to what you want to do. You love basketball. And he knew the sacrifices it takes for boxing. You know, my brother, he literally would train and he played basketball as well. And then he would come home and train even more just to like make weight or whatever. So like when his buddies were out playing and having fun, he was running miles outside trying to make weight for a fight, especially because it's all year round. So he was always training for a fight. And as an amateur, you want to get as much experience as you can.
Sure. Right?
So he knew all the sacrifices my brother made. And he was like, no, like, I don't want that for you. And I was 10 and I was like, well, I know what I want for me. I was very persistent, very persistent. And then I was like, fine, well, when I get older one day, like, I'm going to take myself to the gym. Like, I know where the gym's at, right? So when I turned 16, I'd got my keys to my car or whatever. And I was like, hey, I know where I'm going to go. And he was like, where? And I was like, I'm going to the boxing gym.
Wow.
Yeah, he's like, I was like, you can come with me or I'll just tell you how it went, right? So they ended up going with me. And after my first training session, it kind of was like natural to me in the sense of like I already had all the conditioning, which is the hardest part of boxing.
Sure.
I was a cross country runner. That was my main thing too. So I had all the conditioning. I had the discipline, the work ethic, being multi sports and juggling school at the same time. It was just learning like the fundamentals and everything, which I think anyone who tries boxing for the first time, you do look weird at first because it's like the most awkward thing ever. Like trying to stand in your boxing stance, trying to learn how to shadow box. Like it is awkward, but if you have like the little bit of athleticism and bases like conditioning, you'll pick it up pretty quickly. So they threw me in the ring after like 3 months of training to fight, which is kind of unheard of.
Like a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
signed me up for my first tournament. It was at Traders Village on the south side of San Antonio.
What?
Yeah. Whoa. It was on it was literally because my birthday is on November 12th. It was Veterans Day, so it was that weekend. It was like on a Sunday or something. And I had fought a girl and they had tricked me because they were like, yeah, this girl, she's
nude.
No, they said she was like this total like cool girl. Like she's been boxing, she's undefeated. Like they were trying to make me scared. Like that's just the, I guess, kind of like the Mexican mentality. Like if they wanted to see if I was gonna punk out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, in my head, I was like, dang, that's kind of crazy, but like I can take her. Like I've been doing all this hard work.
Yes.
Like it's my first fight. I have so much to prove to everybody who said like I shouldn't be doing this, whatever, whatever. And she was 8 fights. I don't know how many wins or losses, but she had 8 fights and it was my first fight. So I ended up beating her and unanimous decision and everything, even gave her like an 8 count. And I was just throwing straight 1-2s. I had no like 3 months of training, right?
Oh,
it was just
wow.
1-2s straight. I think it was 1 minute rounds at the time. So just straight 1-2s the whole time, basically just outworked her in the sense like that.
Yeah.
And so, and then after the whole tournament, every tournament or like fight show or whatever, they give a one award to the most outstanding boxer, female and male, and they gave it to me. And I was like, no, wait, I didn't even know.
Oh, this is easy.
Yeah, I was like, you're telling me I can do this all the time? I was so excited. I didn't even know what the award meant until they told me. And I was like, what? And I was so excited. And after that first fight, 3 months into training, I was a junior in high school and I got my license and everything. And that's when I knew, like, I didn't know that's what I wanted to do long term, but I knew this is something I wanted to pursue and that I wanted to get really good at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just being able, like, how many people I inspired and stuff just from that first fight, and how many, like, even my coaches back home, like, they would have, I came back and they're like, dude, we would have never guessed you would have done something like that.
I love
you know?
That. Right. So you were in high school, right?
I was a junior in high school.
So, okay, so you have your first fight, mm-hmm. you get the outstanding award, you walk in. Did you have a little swag when you walked back
no,
in?
No, actually.
And how were the people at high school? They're like, don't mess with her.
Honestly, like, because I kind of don't remember too much, but I remember not telling many people I fought.
Okay.
Like, it was just something I did. My coaches knew because I would ask sometimes, like, it was during the fall, so we were in, like, preseason of basketball. So they'd make us run cross country, but I was running cross country. So after practice, sometimes I would leave early to go to the gym because it was in San Antonio on the south side. So I would like be like, hey, coaches, can I please leave early? And like they knew what it was for. So they were cool with it. And they knew that I was getting a heck of a workout over here. So it was just going to add to my time on the court.
Yeah.
So they were okay with it. They were like, well, if you're still working out and getting it on over there, like we don't mind if it's going to help you in your ball game, you know? So they were cool about it. So I think my teammates and stuff had knew, but I didn't like flaunt around school and like, hey, I got this and that. Like it was kind of more for me and for the people I knew who like said I couldn't do it, or kind of just like not people necessarily saying I couldn't do it, but just to look at people's faces like, oh, you're gonna box, oh, you have a fight, like, oh, you're fighting today. Yeah. Like it was just like you can,
it kind of gets them unwarranted,
you get the vibes of people. So I was kind of like, like I have something to prove, you know? And so I think that's how it's been from here on out.
Yeah, that's awesome. So like junior in high school, first fight, your boxing career begins. So you're in San Antonio, but like what was the draw to UTSA? What brought you in, and talk about your first experience coming into UTSA?
Yeah, so my timeline is kind of like all over the place in the sense that like I really didn't know like my certain direction after I graduated high school, which is pretty common. And I think I was trying so hard to like find a certain direction and like, oh, I need to know exactly what I'm doing, just because the pressure of being a first gen too, like I knew I wanted to do this for my parents and everything. So as for the boxing timeline, I had taken time off. I was still training, but not like super hardcore. I wasn't training for a fight because, like I said, the sacrifice it takes for it, I was going to have to, like, if I wanted to be good, right? And like I said, my family, everything we did it to 100%. So my dad was like, I think you should just chill out for a little bit. Like, you had your first fight. You got it out of your system. Just stick to, you know, basketball, cheer. I was cheer captain, basketball captain, and then I was class president too. So like and then on grades on top of that, like dual credit classes and everything, I just had a lot. So he was like, I don't want you to give up all that just for boxing, because like it's a whole different world and you have to like close yourself down in that world.
And you got plenty of time, right?
Yeah. And then he was like, you'll be fine, like if you know. And I think he was still trying to make sure that's exactly what I wanted to do. Like he was like, if you know that's what you want to do, then when you graduate you can pursue it for sure, and like we'll support you. So I was like, you know what, you're right. I didn't have time after like Friday night games, basketball, cross country on the weekend, school. Like it was a lot. So finished out school, and I had said initially I was obsessed with the idea of like going to school out of state. I just always said I wanted to do it. I just wanted to get out of Texas, I guess, and like Floresville, the small town world. And just like, I've always known I wanted to do something big. I just didn't know what it was. And I think that kind of like drove me crazy. So I was like, I want to go to school in California. My brother went to the Marine Corps, so he was stationed in San Diego. So I was like, California was just in my head. I didn't know how I was going to get there. I just knew I was going to get there, right? I was going to apply. But being a first-gen student, too, I didn't know too much about, like, this sounds crazy, but, like, applications and everything.
Every first-gen student we've had on here, same deal.
I had no idea, and I was so sad, because, like, I was in dual credit classes. I was with all the smart kids and everything, but I was, like, the only, like, athlete, multi-sport athlete.
Right.
I was, like, the only one. So I'd be on games, going on the bus to games, and I'd be writing essays, 6-page essays, and everyone was just eating burgers, having fun, and I was just there like in my seat trying to hurry up and submit the deadline before the game. And so I think like that fall rolled around during our senior year, and people are like, oh my gosh, I got accepted. Everyone goes to A&M from where Floresville, right? So everyone's getting accepted to A&M, and some of them went to UT and all these places. And I was just like, wait, y'all got accepted already? And they're like, yeah, you didn't apply. And I was like, I didn't even know applications were like, especially for like D1 schools. I had no idea that literally you submit them before October, the holidays, like before it was early fall. I had no idea. So I went home and I remember telling my parents, because Floresville definitely pushes a lot of like community college, which I get, you know, like save money. We're from a small town. Like it's very unheard of to go to straight to a 4-year. And so I went home and I told my parents, and they're like, well, just look up like whatever school you can find that's still, you know, if you want to go to like a big university, we'll support you. My dad has had a trucking business for way over like 15 years already. So that's how they were going to support me and everything. And so I remember looking, and OU was open, and I think the University of Hawaii. So I applied to those two, and I got in. I actually got in through OU through like a mini kind of scholarship for being Hispanic. And we went and we toured. My parents have always loved OU. Went toward it. And I remember the first thing I thought was like, is there a boxing gym over here in Oklahoma? And it has to be near the college, because like I can't be going, you know, hours and hours away if I'm in school. So we went toward it. My parents loved it. I loved it. But then when we looked for a boxing gym, there was one, and it was far, and there was like, it wasn't very good in the sense like they didn't have anything behind them, backing them up, or like no one really came out of there. So I was like, how am I going to succeed in boxing when there's like this little gym that's like.
So you already had the plan.
I already had the idea.
Plan. Okay.
Got and it. My parents had known that too, but they didn't like really put that into like terms of like, this is why I'm still going to go to college, just to like box on the side, you know? So it went, I had submitted my fee for like my enrollment and everything. And then like a week later, I was like, nah, I don't want to go. My parents were upset. They were like, no, like we were going to send you to like this really cool school. Like we wanted you to take advantage of this opportunity. And I was like, I know, but like, I just can't. Cause like that boxing gym just wasn't it for me. Like, and San Antonio is the mecca of boxing. So is California and like metros, so, like New York and stuff, but definitely South Texas, San Antonio and California, like the biggest spots for boxing.
Did not know that either.
If you look up a boxing gym, there's one. My gym is like 10 minutes from here.
Oh,
5 minutes. Yeah. Nice. I could probably run there. Yeah. It's not
you probably
far.
Could. I don't doubt you.
It is not far at all. So like boxing gyms, yeah, there's gyms within 10 minutes of each other everywhere here in San Antonio. Like
very
if
cool.
You ever Google it, you will find all the little boxing gyms. Yeah. You'll see them. There's probably one right down your street from your house. Like it is insane. So yeah. So then I was like, you know what? If I can't go to school anywhere else, like I'm just gonna stay here in San Antonio. So it took a full 180 and I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna go to community college to save money for my parents so I can box at the same time. Cause they had told me if you go to school and you pursue boxing, like we'll support you. You know, so I was like, okay, I'm gonna take advantage of this opportunity and I'm gonna box full time as much as I can while going to school to get this degree for my family as well, right? So I ended up doing that, went to SAC. And UTSA was always something I always had on my mind if I wanted to stay here just because I loved, like, the diversity of it and the culture. And they really do represent the Hispanic culture well in that sense. And it's diverse in so many ways. And I was like, you know what? I toured it when I was, like, in high school. You know, we'd always go on tour San Antonio, and we always came to UTSA. And I was like, you know what? I like UTSA. Like, it just has this vibe and, like, this welcoming spirit to it. That even like other D1 universities, I was like, I don't know, like nothing compares to UTSA. So I knew if I was gonna go anywhere out of state, like if I stayed in Texas, it was gonna be UTSA. So I was like, you know, UTSA is not looking like a bad idea, you know? And so went to SAC and I was like, you know what? I think I wanna go to UTSA. So I went to SAC for like a year. And then with all my dual credits that transferred over, ended up at UTSA within like, I think it was 2021, I ended up here.
Nice.
So yeah, I loved it. And it was just, it definitely wasn't what I expected, you know, graduating college. Like it was, oh, I'm going to UTSA, birds up. Like I had no idea what I was doing, but I'm so happy I ended up at UTSA because it was probably the best decision. And it was definitely God's plan at the end of the day too. Like everything worked out the way it was supposed to. And I was able to pursue boxing full time.
That's
while
awesome.
In college, so it was great. It worked out for sure.
That's awesome. So was marketing always the thought? Like, what was the mindset and
yeah? I guess I've always
marketing.
Been interested in marketing and like advertising and just I've always been a people person and wanting to speak and like just create. Always been creative. So yeah, my freshman year, I knew I wanted to do marketing and business. Anytime, anything up that alley. My dad's a business guy too, so yeah. I just love the whole business aspect and knowing that like being your own boss and you can create your own stuff and just. Being able to, like, essentially do whatever you want, and marketing has a broad category that you can go into. Like, you can literally do whatever you want with marketing.
Yeah.
It transfers over
so it's,
much.
It's pretty broad, right?
It is, but I think I read somewhere when I was doing the research that you like the storytelling part of it, right? So whether it's for a brand or for someone such as yourself as an athlete, it's about the storytelling and connecting with people, right? Is that kind of what drew you?
Definitely, I think, because... Two, being a first gen, I didn't know too much about degrees specifically, but I loved advertising and the fact that, like, you know, storytelling and be able to just, like, display, like, this whole story of something so small, whether if it's just, like, a product or something. And then I got more into, like, oh, that's what kind of marketing is. And the marketing has the different avenues of, like, storytelling, advertising, you know, your brand online, offline. Like, it has so many different avenues. So I knew that if I wanted to be an athlete, too, like, this would definitely... help me out in so many ways.
It would work in your favor. And I'm sure it is.
Oh, for sure. Yes, it is.
Right?
Yes, it is definitely.
And you're
helped
just
me.
Getting started.
Yes,
so like,
just getting
stuff
started.
That you have in your back pocket,
for
right?
Sure.
These skill sets, which is great.
That's right. Well, graduating 23, I'm sure your parents are completely proud and happy.
Oh,
and
yes. They're full on birds up parents, like always decked out in UTSA gear. I love
nice.
It.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, what's your first, you graduate now? What? I mean, yeah, I would imagine like with the training schedule that you have for boxing that, you know, there's just kind of some carryovers like, well, I'm I'm in week three of week eight of training, so like I'm just going to keep training and do my thing. Were you looking at a career possibilities, or what was the game plan from a career standpoint?
So for sure, I knew I wanted to get my degree, and they had told me and my coach and my family had sat down, and they're like, if you want to do this full time, like we need you to put work off to the side, you know. And I've always worked. I love having my own money, being able to like, you know, just support myself in that way, because my parents support me so much in so many ways. But I knew too that if I got my degree, I at least wanted to do something with it at first, just so that I had that for myself. And just so that if boxing didn't work out, I knew I always had a plan B.
Smart.
I've always been like a plan B type person. Mm-hmm. So it was really hard trying to be full-time work and do boxing, because usually people who do it, they're not world champions or anything yet, because if you ever see a world champion, they don't have a full-time job. Boxing's their full-time.
Right. Yeah.
But obviously to get there, you have to support yourself. Like not everyone has the support system like I have, or they have the opportunities to take advantage of, where they can, you know, have the funds backing them up, where they can spend more time in the gym and less time working a 9-to-5, which is usually when you should be training, you know, or having to work a 9-to-5 and then go train after. Like, it's exhausting. But I knew I'm very hard-headed, so I was like, you know what, I still want to try and work for the Spurs, because I knew I always wanted to work in sports. Sports marketing is something I've always wanted to do, whether if it was like long-term, I would always thought like a talent agency type thing, where like I could scout people or be kind of PR for athletes. Like, I always knew I wanted to do something working with athletes, because I knew I kind of just had the brain for that, and I knew that was what I was passionate about with myself. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just felt natural. So I was like, I want to work for the Spurs. I don't know what I want to do, but like, I've always wanted to work for sports. So I tried out for that. I had applied like multiple times, got told no a lot. I did internships, marketing internships with sports. I did a lot of game operations, so on the field with headsets for the Alamo Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. And then finally, I saw a spot open up for group sales with the Spurs as kind of like an intern, but you'd work the whole season part-time. So it wasn't really intern, because we're getting paid and everything, and we're getting the full experience. And I got in through that, and I was so excited. So group sales, I just helped. I was kind of like an assistant to all the salespeople. So like their groups, they would do like any groups that came out to the game, if they had any on-court stuff. So like halftime, post-game, pre-game, I was an assistant to all that. So helped them with like all the office work. And then obviously on game day, we would escort everyone down to the court, back up, told them where they're supposed to be. So then eventually, after halfway through that season, they had a game operations opening. Someone had just left like throughout the midseason. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh, game ops. Like, I've always wanted to do that. I did that for football. And I was like, I could actually do this for the Spurs, right? It's called a game operations assistant. So I had spoke to my boss. I told her like I was interested, but I was kind of scared, because I was like, I'd committed to like group sales, but I was like, I saw they had an opening for game ops. Like, would you be upset if like I applied? She was like, no, this is exactly like what we want y'all to do. Like, whenever you get a foot in the door with the Spurs, like, we want you to talk to other departments and like figure out what you really want to do, because we're all a team at the end of the day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I did that, and I spoke to the game ops coordinator, and she was like, yeah, we'd love to have you on. So I transferred through that halfway through the season, and I worked all the way up in there for the rest of the season. And yeah, so I was just basically on the court with the headset.
Nice.
We ran the whole game from start to finish, made sure everything was on time, all promotions, all the games that went on, timeouts, post-game, pre-game.
Wow.
All of that. Yeah, it's a very fast-paced thing, but I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
I mean, it's so awesome, because I mean, I feel like every marketing student, to me, it's fascinating, because the marketing degree is so broad that it's not like getting an accounting degree.
Right.
Right. You're not going to go work for a firm or study for your CPA and then go work for a firm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you just got to find your path.
Exactly.
You know, and I love the path that you took, because, you know, as an athlete, you know, just having that level of exposure at the highest levels of game production.
Right.
And knowing what you need to do as an athlete to promote yourself.
For sure.
Like, a big part of one thing I got really excited about our conversation today was just the process of self-branding.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether you're an athlete or just a professional or student that's coming into your career, we live in a world now of self-branding, self-promotion.
Right.
You know, I always tell folks, like, you know, brand yourself first and then the company.
That's true.
Right? Like,
for sure.
You got to make yourself valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And in marketing, you know, it's such a broad degree that you really got to kind of find your path. And a lot of times it starts with internships
mm-hmm.
and just getting in there, right? Were you at all like frustrated with that? Because I know a lot of students do get frustrated with the fact that I'm only getting offered internships.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely hard too with the marketing aspect, in the sense that you do look at jobs once you first graduate and it's like you need 4 to 5 years of marketing experience.
Right, yeah.
And everyone's like, well, where am I supposed to get that, bro? Like, I'm trying to get it here.
Right.
We need entry level marketing on LinkedIn. But yeah, it is very complicated. And I think it was just staying true to who I was and believing in that mm-hmm. this is what I wanted to do. And I was just going to do whatever it took to get there. So meaning internships that I wasn't getting paid, just reaching out to anybody. Networking was like the biggest thing, reaching out to anyone and anyone. Like, you don't know what kind of conversation can lead into, like, oh, we have this opening, or, oh, hey, I know this person. And that it ties in a lot to boxing too. Like, it's all networking, like who mm-hmm. you know is how you get the good fights and stuff. Yeah, I just told myself that if I want to work for the Spurs, like, I needed experience. Like, I needed something to back me up besides talking my way into something, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think just the internships and just being able to, like, really brand yourself in the sense of, like, know who you are, you know? So when I went into interviews, I think when I started to get good at was just being confident in who you are and knowing that whatever job it was that you're applying to, like, you're an asset to what they need, you know?
Right.
And I think once you see, like, the hire, whoever you're having the interview with, that, you know, you see like this light in their eyes where they're like, oh yeah, like we want you for sure, you know?
Yeah.
So I think having your own brand in that sense is definitely significant.
Yeah, yeah. I think two things. One, it is important with a personal brand, like you said, Drew, but also knowing your core values mm-hmm. and what you said was staying true to who you are. Mm-hmm. That's what's really going to catch their eye, like you said. So I love that.
Authenticity is strangely a huge 100% asset to bring to the table.
And people can spot it from a million miles away. Especially if you're a recruiter, or if you're someone in a position where you're always interviewing people, mm-hmm. that is absolutely key. But the second piece of that, just really quickly, is that the experience that you had with the Spurs, I mean, what better franchise to learn the ropes, even if it's behind the scenes or whatever, mm-hmm. on how to market, or like you said, the athleticism, the dedication to whatever position mm-hmm. you have, than the Spurs. So you can absolutely take that and apply it to your career, right?
Yes, absolutely.
But you think about the timing too, right? Like, you know, you obviously have a passion for boxing, you want to carry it to the next level, mm-hmm. but you know, I think the timing of, like, and getting your experience with these opportunities, that, you know, boxing is not forever, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, can't be boxing at 50 years old.
It's got a bit of a short runway, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, gaining any level of experience rather than just jumping right in is probably pretty key too. And hot take, talking about authenticity to any students that are out there maybe listening. While I appreciate the value of a 30-second elevator pitch, mm-hmm. to me, it removes the authenticity out of somebody's communication. Cause I don't know, like, I think the development of the soft skills, being able to communicate trumps a 30-second elevator pitch.
Absolutely.
All day.
I think an elevator pitch is definitely overrated in the sense that, like, because if it's recited and it's rehearsed and it's like
memorized,
and it's memorized, it's like, what are you really showing of yourself to whoever you're trying to convince that you're worth it? You know,
because you have to be able to answer the follow up question
exactly
after the pitch. Have to be able to expand
like,
on
wait,
that.
You're not supposed to ask me questions.
Yeah,
like, wait a minute, let me get to my cue cards.
Yeah, unfortunately, you have to think on the fly in interviews, but when you know who you are and like what you're trying to offer, you should be able to think on the fly. You know,
right, yeah, 100%. And if you're speaking from the heart and speaking as an individual person, those answers come up pretty quick.
And
right?
Especially, like, if you go the whole interview being authentic and confident, they don't like it, then it was probably the wrong job for you. Anyways,
exactly,
you know?
Right.
So you'll end up where you're supposed to. And I think that's what it was for me. Just a lot of internships I didn't get that I wanted, a lot of jobs. Like, I applied for the Spurs multiple times and I didn't get it at first. But I also think the way I was interviewing wasn't right. Like, I was trying to be not someone I wasn't, but someone I wasn't in that sense, you know?
That comes with learning and growth, right?
Yeah,
so the fact that you stayed with it, and a common theme that we're hearing is perseverance, mm-hmm. right? You just stayed with it and you were like, whatever is meant to be is going to meant to be, but also you did the work, right?
For sure.
You can't rely on destiny alone.
No.
You have to put in the work.
Yeah, that's the thing I love about saying, like, when people have big dreams, I'm like, of course, dream big, but also be real in the sense that you have to work hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have to sacrifice and you have to pray about it, have faith about it, and believe in yourself, because you can dream all you want, but if you're not going to put the work in, the dream's going to stay a dream.
Love that.
Yeah, I mean, big dreams are important, but individual shorter-term goals that get you to that dream.
Get you to that dream,
right?
Like, you got to start with what's happening today.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Right. And boxing is a great metaphor for all of it, right?
Absolutely. It really is. It's like fighting at the end of the day is, every day is a fight, and I feel like boxing is just the epitome of, like, working hard, perseverance and just knowing that you're going to end up where you're supposed to be if you put in the work and believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we talked about one fight, but, you know, through your amateur career, 2-time national champion and ranked number 4 in the United States.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
So that you got that one fight out of the way.
Yeah.
You get back in. Talk about your first opportunity to become a national champion.
Yeah. My timeline is crazy, like I said, because I had started as a junior, stopped a little bit. I would train here and there, didn't really do anything with it just because I was basketball cheer, focusing on graduating high school, all that jazz. So I wasn't, mine was not on competing, didn't compete for probably another 3 years. Then I stepped in the ring again. I had lost twice back to back and I was like, dang, but it was kind of just because I was just throwing myself in the ring. Like I knew this is what I do. So I threw myself in the ring as like a freshman in college. Didn't really, I put the work in, but not mentally, like I wasn't mentally there. I was just trying to do something. You know, like when you just do something, you're going through the motions. That's kind of what I was doing with boxing. Mm-hmm. I did that for maybe like 2 or 3 years. Like I was like, I want to do this, but I wasn't putting my full effort into it. I was just training, getting in the ring. And I was like, why is this not working out?
Yeah.
But I just think I didn't have, you know, I was young, early 20s. Like I was trying to figure out.
You're in school.
I was in school. It was a lot going on, community college. And I was just like, I was trying to, it was like my mind was like 2 years ahead, but my body was in the now. So I was just going through the motions, thinking about the future.
Goal.
But I wasn't living in the present, you know, like I was like, I'm trying to do boxing full time.
Yeah.
But then I wasn't focusing on what I was doing in the gym that day, you know, kind of just like my mind was moving faster than my body.
You were thinking long game, but you weren't present for the
shorts. Yeah. And I was like, why am I not improving? Like, I just felt so stagnant in everything, you know. And like I said, I was doing internships and I was trying to apply for jobs and that wasn't working out. So it was just kind of like everything was happening at once type thing. You
well,
know?
Talk about the you said you lost back to back, right?
Yeah.
You know, how do you like mentally persevere after a loss like that?
It was bad. I used to be really bad at losing. Like, I hate losing. I guess you have to be if you're really competitive, right? But it was bad because I knew the girl that I was fighting those times that I was a better boxer than her. I just wasn't there mentally and I wasn't in boxing shape, I guess you can say, like versus someone who's been in the gym every day and me who's going to school, taking
she
some
was
days
prepared,
off.
You
yeah,
were.
And boxing those things, like I said, you have to be all in or all out to be, if you want to be really good at it.
Yeah. Talk about your coach too. Like how do you get lined up with your boxing coach?
Yeah. So I started off on the South Side, Ramos Boxing. They were amazing to me. I started off with them. So they're very Mexican style gym. Just work hard. Don't talk. Head down, do what you need to do, and like you'll win, right? And we were always conditioned fighters, but like I said, I was in school.
It's just repetitive, right?
Yeah, like, very repetitive.
Go again.
We sparred hard, did hard bag drills. Like they are till this day, like one of the hardcore gyms in San Antonio. Like if you go up against a Ramos boxer, like you're gonna have a good fight. And so yeah, they were super supportive of me, helped me all throughout freshman year, junior year. Or freshman year, sophomore year of college, and then junior year is whenever I wanted to change gyms just because I knew I wanted to be a national champion. And they hadn't took national champions for like a really long time just because they stayed more locally, which is makes sense because it costs a lot to go to national tournaments. Mm-hmm. So when I would go to national tournaments, I would sometimes be going by myself, finding a coach who can go. I had some coaches from my old gym that would go with me because their sons would compete, but I knew I wanted to be in a gym where like they took national championship teams, went to the national tournament and like competed.
Plan, right?
Yeah, like that's their goal. Mm-hmm. So Ramos had kind of died down a little on that train. They're still a phenomenal gym. Like I have nothing bad to say about them, but I knew that what I wanted to do with my career, I wanted to take it to the next level and be a national champion. So I think it was my junior year, like 2022 maybe, somewhere around there. And I'd lost my first 3 national championships. So like they were all within different years, I believe. But I would go, and when you go, you're fighting against girls and guys, girls for me, but girls and guys who have like 80 plus fights. They've been doing this since they were 9 years old. They have like 20 national championships, 10 national championships. Like they've been doing it since they were little. And so like to be a national championship, they have obviously your division. So you'll have like your youth, which is right below elite. Elite's what I fought in, 18 and up. So ever since I started boxing, I've only fought in the elite division because I started late compared to other people, right?
Yeah. Right.
Only fought against elite fighters. So everyone I went up against, like I said, had 80 plus fights, have been doing this for since they were in diapers. So for me, at the beginning, I did have a lot of like imposter syndrome to where I was like, I go to these tournaments, right? And like I said, my timeline was like a little messed up. So like, I was like, yeah, I've had like two or three fights, but these girls had been in the ring forever. So I'd kind of be like, man, like I don't feel like I'm supposed to be here, but I want to be here. And I need to win a national championship in order to prove that like I needed to be here. But that was something I struggled with a long time, and definitely being in college too and having that goal. So it was like having two big goals at one time. It was very tough.
Wow.
And then being at UTSA, you know, I wasn't an actual student athlete. So this is something I was having to juggle on the side by myself. Right. So having to do college courses, navigate being in college, being away from home. I had moved to San Antonio while still going to the gym, training, trying to become a national championship. Like, it was a lot.
That sounds like a lot.
And then too, being a USA boxer, a lot of them don't go to school. I was like one of the few that was in college and training. So like there were scholarships they had at the end of every year, and I would always apply and I would get them. So it would help out with my tuition and everything. But in the sense that when they had national tournaments going on, it was always finals week. So December every year, they haven't even changed it till this day. It's like December 9th through the 15th, which is finals of UTSA all the time.
Wow. I did that.
It was awful, let me tell you. So like you would, national tournaments last a whole week, right? So being a girl, there's never too many people in your division. So usually you'll fight earliest like Monday, you'll skip a few days, fight Thursday, or you'll just fight the last championship day and the day before. So like you'll be in championships already like on Saturday or whatever. So I would do finals all week. Like I'd just be locked in my hotel room doing finals. Then I would get out, train, go lose some weight to make weight. And then I'd come back in and just like till like the wee hours of the morning, just trying to get finals done, like study my last bit. Take a test. Study my last bit. Take a test.
So that's tough, right?
It was really hard.
Kudos to the UTSA professor.
Yes,
well, hold on. There's a question.
It was so tough.
Kudos to the UTSA for working with you on that.
Yeah.
Right? But mentally, how do you do that? Like you, I mean, you had to have been tired. So like, how do you persevere? Like,
yeah, I kind of would just,
journal. I mean, I know you're big on your faith. Like,
yeah.
What?
I would just pray a lot and just like tell God, like whatever happens in the ring, like, I know whatever will you have for me is the will I want for me, you know? And like, regardless if I win or lose, like, I know there's purpose in whatever I'm doing that it'll make sense one day.
Yeah.
And every national tournament I lost, I would cry. I was like, no, like I've worked so hard. Like I would put all these hours in the gym. Then I'd go home from the gym, stay up till like 2 a.m. doing homework because we train consistently all the time because I was in school during the day. Then I would train. So I was like, when do I do homework?
Yeah.
At the wee hours.
Yeah.
So then on the weekends, I was doing homework. I was always doing homework. Then I was just obsessed with trying to get a job after college, too. So just the pressure of all that. And then come fight week is when you're supposed to be revived and reduced and recovered. And I was just, I'd walk in the ring and I'd just be like, man, let's get this over with. Like, I'm tired. I need a break. Like, I'll get a little break from school. But it was all at the same time that I was having to do finals and compete at one of the highest calibers and levels you can.
Wow.
So I'd always give these girls hell for sure. Like I was losing by split decision.
Oh wow.
Meaning I was like a really close fight against these really good girls, and they would come up to me and they'd be like, we've never heard of you, because they all grew up together. Like, and I'd just be like, oh, I just started, like this is what I'm gonna do. They're like, girl, keep at it, because like you're doing good. Like,
oh,
you'll get
nice.
Read. Yeah, I had a lot of girls that were really nice about it. And so then I went through a cycle of just like losing national championships and doing finals at the same time. This is basically what I remember from my time of just losing, competing, training, school. And then towards the end of my senior year, that's when I won my first national championship. Yeah. It was I think it was the summer of July. Yeah. And I had just graduated, just walked the stage in May.
What a year.
And I felt, it was a phenomenal year. It was insane. Yeah. It was insane.
That's back.
I had lost in that December. And then I had fought Golden Gloves. I had won. And then I went to another national championship. I had lost. And then that June coming up was my next one. And I was like, okay, I'm going to graduate. I was like, I'm going to be free of all the homework and stress. And I was like, I'm just going to give it my all at this tournament. And I did. And I
Atta
won.
Wow.
And it felt unreal because I was like, wow, like I actually did this.
Yeah.
Like I've been dreaming of a national championship since I was first started.
How did it feel?
It felt amazing, honestly. Like I had worked so hard. And it just felt like all those years had like paid off.
Mm.
And then about 2 or 3 months later, the next tournament came up and I went and I won again.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, back to back. She's back.
So the back to back, I mean, was that, because I mean, look, you're talking about losing four in a row. Granted, you have all the school and everything, and kudos to you to have the inner foresight mm-hmm. to realize, you know what, like I'm mentally spread thin. I'm not training the way that I need to.
Yeah.
It would be easy to be deterred after the first loss, much less.
Yeah, like, for sure.
You know, to be like, you know what, it's just not for me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to say that you did it four times in a row, losing four times in a row, I'd for sure be like, dude,
yeah,
like,
maybe not.
I'm not a boxer.
Yeah. No, it was tough for sure. And like, I was winning locally and like all the other tournaments, but it's when you go to nationals that you're fighting against true champions.
And you want to do this like professionally. So,
yeah. And so I knew too that like, I'm a realist. I was like, if I can't win a national championship, what am I doing trying to go pro?
Yeah.
Like, if I can't fight against these girls, adapt to all their mm-hmm. styles, you're fighting different styles all the time. I was like, if I can't adapt here in the amateur world, like what makes me think that I'll be able to do it as a pro, you know?
Yeah.
So I was winning locally and stuff, but it was like every time I go to nationals, I would just lose, you know? And it was just like little things, like, but I knew too, I was just mentally and physically just spreading myself thin. Like I was trying to be in all these places at once, have all these goals at once. So I kind of just hung in there and I was like, you know what, when I graduate, like I know it'll be different. And it exactly was.
So.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, does the national ranking come out after your second?
Yeah. So once you go to one national championship, even if you lose, you're still getting points just from like being there and competing against these high level girls and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it depends where you end up, like if you end up in the championships or whatever. So when I had won my first one, you get a certain amount of points. It's always, it's a point system, which is really crazy.
Yeah.
But it's hard to explain too. Yeah. It's a point system.
Yeah.
I didn't know it for a while too, honestly, until like that year. So like say we all go to nationals, right? We're fighting each other and he gets first and you get second, I get third. He'll mm-hmm. get more points than all of us. Mm-hmm. And then if there's other girls there too, depending on where they ended up in the tournament. So like say someone got second, like you get points. But say I went to a different national championship tournament and I got first, then I could probably have more points than you.
Gotcha.
It's confusing.
Yeah, I got you.
But basically like it's a point system. So every time you place at a national championship, you're given a certain amount of points for that place being.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout that whole year, your points add up at the end of the year.
And that's how you're ranked.
And that's how you're ranked.
Got it.
So okay. Obviously, if you win first at every tournament, or if you won first, like, more than once, at least once, you're going to be at the top of the ranking.
Gotcha. And rankings happen annually, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming. But, like, when do they usually come out?
December.
In December.
Yeah, because
the
main big one is December. And they have three mini ones, but they're still national tournaments.
Nice. Okay.
So they have four every year.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. Three
so,
or four.
At what point do you, like, did you have to make the decision to go professional? Or, like, how does that work? You have to have so many points, or?
Anyone can go pro. Like, y'all could go pro, literally. It is.
Melissa's been fired up since she got
like,
here.
You know,
don't say that out loud.
No, legit. Like, absolutely. That's what's crazy about the sport of boxing. Absolutely anyone can go pro. That's why you see, like, all these YouTubers doing, like, that thing that's surfacing now.
Because
literally anybody can go pro.
Mm.
So, like, now there's a bunch of, like, YouTube cards that they do where they pick, like, influencers. So, like, there's girls, guys who are just, like, popular on social media and they throw them in the ring.
Yeah.
You literally just sign up. That's what's complicated about the sport of boxing, because it's, like, you have these people, like me, for instance, and literally all these, if you go to gym in San Antonio, these guys have been training since they were little just to get a big payday, which they don't get until they're like 10-0, because that's when you get recognized and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have like these influencers who have all this money,
sponsors.
Who just get on and sponsors because mm-hmm. they have exposure from social media, that are getting big paydays on their first fight. And
are you recognizing that as a marketer?
Yeah.
Well, I was about to say.
Yeah. So like it makes,
all right.
Yeah, it makes sense.
All right.
But for me, for instance, I think the route I've been going that's a little different is I'm trying to market myself and have a brand in that sense, to where like I'm not just trying to fight and then wait to get recognized, you know, like I'm trying to like network and also be paying close attention about what my social media looks like too, you know.
Good.
Like I'm trying to be respectful as a woman, display myself as like manners, grew up the right way from a small town.
Back to your core values.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, like being definitely authentic. Have morals and values, so that when someone does see me one day, they notice how I'm different from the rest too, you know, and just staying true to myself. But yeah.
So you decided to go professional. So you're 2-0 professionally. Is that
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
So talk about your first professional fight. Is there like does the ring feel different when you're going out there? Like, man, this counts.
Yeah. Actually, I've never been super nervous for fights. Like, especially when I started believing in myself and not having that imposter syndrome anymore, that mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? I'm good at what I do. I put a lot of work in. And I believe in myself and I know this is where I'm supposed to be. Because I used to always pray, like, if this isn't for me, God, like, just mm-hmm. take me out of it. And then I would go and win. And I was like, okay, you know,
on the right path.
Yeah, I'm on the right path. And then nationals came along and I was like, you know, like everything's finally clicking. I think when you talk to a boxer ever, you'll always hear them say like when everything clicked, meaning like when they started winning stuff, when everything just started to fall into place as a fighter, you finally know who you are as a fighter. You have your style, you know what works for you and you know how to adapt well.
You know what your training needs to be, yeah, which is like, a big part of
yeah,
it, right?
You, like, your training, even everything leading up into the fight, like your diet, knowing what you eat fight day after, like what refuels you. Everything clicked for me definitely after I graduated college. And I think that's just when I was more at ease in my mind and more of knowing who I was, you know, being grounded in my faith. That's like kind of when everything fell into place for me. So yeah, going pro, I knew my first fight, I knew there was a lot of pressure too because I was on a TV card, so which is insane for your professional debut. Usually people in San Antonio just fight on their local boxing. There's always boxing shows going on in San Antonio, their local card, getting paid like just a little bit out of here, just knowing that you're gonna get a fight under your belt. And I didn't get paid a lot for sure, but it was like a lot of exposure. Like I was fighting against people who had like been around boxing, cameras everywhere, Pro Box TV was everywhere. Like, these are the big deal guys. And I was the last bout of the night because I sold so many tickets, they couldn't put me at the beginning of the fight.
Really?
Yeah. So even that was crazy, like, knowing that I had such a big crowd. I think I was probably, like, the second highest ticket seller.
Wow. Nice.
So knowing that the big old crowd was out there, all my family, friends, everyone had always seen me wanted to fight, but never got to see me because I was always, anytime I'd fight, I was out of Texas all the time.
Yeah.
So this was like the first time a lot of people were going to see me fight. I was on a big TV card. I knew there's, for these big TV fights, you know, like you see the commentators were like there. It's like they're seeing my name and stuff. So I was like, oh my goodness.
Did
like,
you have a song?
Yeah, I did.
What was it?
What did I do? They messed it up because they started playing, I think, the other girl's song when I walked out. I think she had like Eye of the Tiger. So I think it sounded like I was walking out to Eye of the Tiger, but I didn't.
She gave a look like, no, man.
You know, your brothers would be like, really?
I know. They were like, everyone looked at each other and I was like, I promise this isn't my song, which is fitting because in Flores, our mascot is a tiger. So I was like, a lot of people thought it was, and I was like, oh no. I was like, this is what happened, but you know what? I don't care. But I forgot what it was supposed to be. I don't remember what it was supposed to be, but it was wrong anyways. But yeah, I was decked out in UTSA gear and everything. Even awesome. My fan shirts were dark blue with the orange on it. And yeah, I was like, I thought I was going to be really nervous and scared. But when I was walking up to the ring, I was just really locked in. And when I got in there, it just felt like another sparring day to me. Like, I was very calm.
Nice.
I was like, I wasn't like jittering or like moving. Like, I was just standing there and I was like, dude, this is like exactly where I've always wanted to be.
Nice.
Like, I was not nervous at all. And then, yeah, like you can feel the adrenaline, but it was like a controlled adrenaline. Mm-hmm. And that's how I knew, like, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Flow state.
Yeah, and then the second fight, my second fight come around, I thought it was going to, like, I was like, maybe I'll be, like, really nervous this time. Same thing. Stepped in the ring, calm, and I was like, this is where I'm supposed to be.
Wow.
Like, let's
found
go get it.
Your formula.
Yes, very and it cool. is insane. Like, I wish everyone could feel exactly what, you know, that feels like in their avenue or whatever that is, but it was amazing.
Very cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. So talk about, like, I guess those experiences. I'm sure in every fight, there's moments in the fight that you take a good shot. And you're going, oh no. Are there any moments that stick out to you that were like, well, I was pretty close to not winning that fight?
not as a professional, no. Like I've prepared very, very hard for my two fights and this fight as well. And we know exactly like our training camps are hard. So when I get in the ring, it's like I've known exactly everything I could have done for this fight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And to the point where like I'm not gonna let myself slip up. And if I do, I know how to adapt to my slip ups, you know?
Yeah.
As an amateur, yeah, I've had times where I'm like, oh dang, like I gotta bring it to him this last round. You know, my coach is yelling at me in the corner and we gotta go get after it and whatnot. But I think as a pro, like I've definitely seasoned myself enough as an amateur to where if something like that ever did happen, it wouldn't be a slip up because I would just adapt to it right away, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. Looking at your social media posts, especially the one fight where you have the great shot of you making the nose connection.
Oh, yeah, gushing. Yeah.
And then you're after the fight, not a mark, and, you know, with the win. I'm just like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that was unfortunately as a girl, we only go 2-minute rounds and guys go three minutes.
I like how you said unfortunately.
Unfortunately, because if it was three, we'd have a lot more knockouts as girls because that last minute is like you would see hangs in there because there were so many times in the second fight where I rocked her, but then the bell would ring. And I was like, no, get back over here. Get back over here right
like,
now.
Ding, ding, ding.
Every time I would catch her good and she would stop throwing and then the bell would ring. So I was like, dang, I'll get you next one. But I only went 4 rounds because it was my second fight. So. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, what an awesome sport.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, first of all, I mean, even just the physical aspect of it, just for exercise, right?
Oh, like, for sure.
It's great workout, right? You know, like obviously like with being a professional, you want to have your diet in check, your workouts in check, obviously the sparring, keeping everything up to par and leading up to the fight. So you have a fight coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Here in San Antonio.
Yes, sir.
Pretty excited about that. That's going to be at the TechPort Arena, and this is in November?
Yes, November 8th.
November 8th, right? So we'll make sure that we have the links to the tickets.
100%.
That way, if you want to go see Amanda fight, I'm going to go buy my tickets because I would actually love to bring my boys to that also.
Oh, yes, they would love it.
It'd be pretty fun.
And I'm going to bring my girls.
Of course, bring the ladies. Bring the ladies.
So you're preparing for a fight now. You said you're in week 3 of 8 in training?
Yes, I have about 5 more weeks.
Yeah, left. So how's everything going?
It's going good, you know. We're just working hard. And just trying to capitalize off everything, the last fight that we could have done better. So, you know, there's always room for improvement. Even after I saw my last fight, everyone was like amazed by it. But I got out the ring and I was like, I know exactly what I need to work on. Mm-hmm. Like I got out and I was like, yeah, like I was happy that I won, but I was like, I know exactly what I need to work on as soon as I stepped onto that ring.
Yeah.
So I was excited just to get back to it and just literally capitalize off everything.
So do you like watch film, like a football game?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So like you look up your opponent, just watch film.
Do you get obsessed with that sometimes?
Not really, no. Because for me, I just know as a boxer, when you watch someone, you know exactly the type of fighter they are already. Mm-hmm. And not to like degrade anybody or anything, but like there's girls that I've seen that I'm like, I know exactly how to beat you. You know, everyone's beatable at the end of the day.
Sure. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you just perfect, I think me just perfecting everything I need to work on and being the best I can be, I think anyone in front of me has a problem.
Yeah, but like I think with boxing too, right? So like there's a strategy for everyone you're fighting, your opponents, you study the film, as you mentioned, but you already know their go-tos, you already know their weakness and you capitalize on that. So when you're like doing your drills and all that, you're like repeating how you can defend yourself against
for
that,
sure.
Or more how you can go in. Right?
Yeah, I think for me, it's just doing the best that I can do, you know, like making sure all my flaws are perfected to the most they can be and just working on like the stuff I slipped on my last fight, you know? So I think when you do that, I'm more of a boxer and I can brawl at the same time, being like having that Mexican in me as well. So, I mean, I think I just have like the best of the both worlds, honestly,
because
like
that.
I'll sit there and bang with you, but I'll also box on the outside.
Melissa, we got to cut that out.
She's like, yes.
We got to cut that out. So the fight you got coming up, you've been watching film, getting ready for it. This is actually for the ABF title, regional title belt, right? So some riding on the line.
Absolutely.
The opportunity for a belt. You win that, where are you going to put it?
I'm going to carry with me 24/7.
Yeah, right.
Like a purse. It's going to be my purse. Yeah. Like, man, we can't bring that in. Yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
Yes, I can, and I will.
Right?
Yeah. I'm like, you trying to get the belt?
Oh, that's awesome.
Probably just hang it in a little case somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would shadow box it.
Shadow.
Intended.
And then you're also serving on the board for your gym's nonprofit organization. So talk a little bit about that.
It's been so exciting. We just started it probably like this past year. It's called PTB Youth Assistance. So we basically essentially created it in the sense that kids who don't have the necessities and resources at home, you know, whether it's like doing homework or getting that extra help outside of school or just coming to a place that's more safe and just like where you can meet other kids along the same path as you or whatever. And just basically making the gym a safe place for these kids that need help and having teachers there to help them with their homework, whatever needs, while teaching them a little bit of boxing, just like instilling all that skills and resources that they can't get at
home.
Kind of
like a 360 like services for them, right?
Yeah.
Besides the boxing and the athleticism.
Yeah, because it's always more than boxing at the end of the day, you know?
Yeah.
And our gym's always trying to get back to the community. So it's very small starting off, you know, we're still trying to like get our feet wet and like learn what exactly we need to incorporate into this little after school program. But yeah, we had like 3 or 4 kids and they would come on Tuesdays and Thursdays at like 4:30. And yeah, we would just like sit there with them, like color, help them with math, anything they needed on their homework, and then just like teach them a little bit of boxing if they wanted to stay for the kids class we have after. And then their parents would come and pick them back up. So
nice.
Just something to get back to the community and like really help those in need, because especially in boxing, we have a lot of kids that come in the gym that we lose due to like drugs or stuff on the streets or they just can't afford to be there. So we even had sponsors that have paid for some of our amateurs to like pay their membership so they could be in the gym year round, where, you know, they're not going and getting in anything they shouldn't be. They're in the gym in the afternoons.
So what's the name of the gym?
Pure Technique Boxing.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it's literally off of right here.
It's
you can run there.
Yeah, you can run there.
I'll run there afterwards with you.
It's off of 1604 in Blanco right here.
I'm gonna show up at class.
You're right.
I'm here for the after school.
I'm here for the
You're
after
like,
school.
Girl, you don't qualify. But and how can people help? Like, if they wanted to help them.
Yeah, so,
nonprofit.
Like, they could donate anything, you know, like school supplies, gym equipment, anything for the kids that they can use, whether it's, like, coloring books, colors. And then we're even looking for volunteers, like, anyone, like, if you're a teacher or whatever, if you want to teach math to them, reading, music, like, anything Very like cool. that, just to help out with kids. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. So we'll make sure that we have the link to all that mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
So any folks that are listening, make sure you check the show notes, get involved. I would imagine there's probably a way to monetarily give as well. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have the time or the pencils or the boxing gloves, you can use your debit card and help them out a little bit there as well. Completely fascinating. Look, I'm very proud that you represent UTSA the way that you are.
Thank you.
Definitely going to want to go see the fight. And I want to get you as much exposure as we can amongst the alumni base, because what you do, especially from a sport that is so physical, you know, the way I look at it, having played in sports that are extremely physical, my takeaway from it in my professional career is that there's no situation that I could be sitting in that is any more stressful than the situations I was in that, right? Mm-hmm. So when the day comes that your whatever your career after boxing looks like, I mean, that's something you're always going to look back on of like, look, like,
absolutely.
You know, I'm nervous of a meeting.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we're good.
You have the tools.
So, I mean, and I also highly suggest for folks that are in school or even those that are fresh out of school, just the physical aspect of staying in shape, good exercise, you know, keeping your head on straight, doing what you need to do, the reliance on faith and everything that you do, you carry mm-hmm. that into the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that adds also to like the even feels of stepping into a situation like that. Because, I mean, you try to picture yourself in our conversation of like, if I was standing in the ring, getting ready to fight.
Yeah.
I don't think I would ever really have a calm nerve.
Right.
So I think I need to really work on some things personally. But no, we appreciate you coming on and sharing your experience. The one final question I have is, what was your favorite memory? What favorite memory do you have at your time at UTSA?
My favorite memory would be walking the stage, of course, because, you know, just walking the stage is something like, it was always a big dream and goal mm-hmm. and be able to do that for myself, my parents, and just to have taken advantage of all the opportunities and also make those opportunities for myself was just amazing. And it was like all at once. I was very nervous walking on stage, actually, now that I was saying that. In the ring, I'm so calm. When I was walking on the stage, I was in heels and I was like, oh no, am I going down?
Butterfly girl.
Yeah, I was like, oh no, this is not the ring. This is not my place. But yeah, walking the stage, and then I met my two best friends that I have till this day, my senior year of college. Mm. So all throughout college, I was basically just a loner because I would go to school, go to train. I couldn't stay after, couldn't really get involved too much because I was always just pushing that dream of boxing. So just trying to train hardcore and then being the books when I was supposed to be. So I ended up running into them my senior year. I was studying for a test and they were studying for the same one. They asked me to join them and then we're all best friends till this day.
I love that.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was literally the beginning of my senior year. So we spent the rest of the senior year, same degree and everything, doing everything together. And they understood like my lifestyle. Like I couldn't be there for everything, but they still support me till this day. Hey, so
future PR and publicist.
Right.
Marketing team.
Right? I have the team. Pro dream team.
That's awesome.
Your own little agency down there.
So meeting my friends and walking the stage was definitely highlights of UTSA and something that, you know, I couldn't have imagined that would have happened being there.
Yeah, well, I'm highly impressed by you.
Thank you.
We will definitely be rooting for you and just stick to your path. You know the formula. You got the formula, right? So just keep at it. But yeah, super proud.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Well, November 8th at the Boeing Center at Techport Arena, we'll have the link in the show notes for tickets. Make sure you get those. We'll also have the link in the show notes of everything that we spoke about, including the nonprofit organization for after school. So if you can provide some help to Amanda and her gym, obviously greatly appreciated. Amanda, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was fun.
Birds up.
Birds up.
And there you have it, our interview with Amanda Sandejo. Amanda, thank you for coming in and sharing your story. And what an awesome story.
I know. It's the first time we've had a national champion times two
right?
or a boxing one anyway, on the pod.
Yeah. It was really great to meet her. And If you see her in person, you probably wouldn't think she's a boxer, but she could probably beat me up. So I'm only going to say good things about Amanda, and there's only good things to say about Amanda, but she's awesome. Great to hear her story and see everything that she's accomplished. And I'm sure there's a lot more that she's going to accomplish.
Yeah, my money's on her, Josh. Sorry. But also my money's on her for her next fight.
Yeah, coming up November 8th at the Boeing Center at Techport.
Yeah, I think all alumni should show up and support her. We're going to try to be out there. So Amanda, look out for us. But she's such an inspiration and little powerhouse.
Absolutely. You got a few weeks to get your tickets, come out and support, and you'll definitely see Amanda in her orange and blue trunks.
For sure.
You get all the information on that on the show notes. But speaking of sports, we talked about earlier in the podcast, a huge win for UTSA football, homecoming game against Rice. 61-13 win. It wasn't even a contest. We were dominating that game from the beginning.
They were actually firing on all cylinders this game. It was offense. It was defense. They looked confident. Whatever adjustments they made, keep them.
Absolutely. 437 offensive yards, 3 passing touchdowns, 3 rushing touchdowns. And shout out to Will Henderson.
Yeah.
He ran 100 yards on just 2 plays. They were 43 yards and 57 yards. Like, that's crazy. 100 yards on just 2 plays, 2 touchdowns. Shout out to Will for really impressing us. I was shocked when I saw those runs.
And it was also cool to see not them just winning, but they looked like they were enjoying themselves out there as well. So it was contagious because you could feel that in the Alamo Dome.
Especially coming out of halftime in the third quarter, they had a pick 6.
Yeah.
And then on the next drive, a fumble return. And then they got a safety, which was really cool to see. So I know the defense has really been the question coming into this season since we didn't return any starters, but it looks like people are stepping up and we're seeing the defense do very well. And we're going to need that defense because the next 3 games are going to be tough. All the teams that we're going to play as of right now sit at 5-1, only 1 loss. So UTSA, we're going to have to really be on our A game to get a few wins, hopefully. The first game is next Saturday at 2:30 in Denton. We'll take on North Texas. That'll be broadcast on ESPN Plus, and we will be out there tailgating. So if you're making the travel to North Texas to see that game, look for our tailgate. Russell and the crew will be out there. Then we come back home, and then we have back-to-back Thursday games. The first one, October 30th at the Alamo Dome. We're going to host Tulane at 6:30. That's going to be on ESPN. And then the following Thursday, we'll be on the road November 6th against South Florida. So we will have a tailgate for Tulane on a Thursday. Yep. So if you need to take off of work, leave work early, call in on Friday. Maybe Russell will get you a note to take to work. If you can't make it out to the games, don't forget, you can always watch them at the watch parties at the Dogco Ice House.
It's been well attended over at Dogco. It's right off of the frontage road between Wurzbach and Hemer, so it's not far from campus, but
right off I-10.
It's kid friendly, obviously dog friendly, and they have live music, drink specials, food trucks.
Big old screen. And the weather's been great lately.
Oh yeah, but even if it's warm, they have misters. It's great. It's a fun atmosphere.
Go out there and support them, especially when the Roadrunners are on the road. You know, another way you can get involved, we talked about the Be Bold campaign. Well, there's a new initiative. It's called Scores for Scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
And all the money raised goes to the Roadrunner Athletic Fund that benefits student athlete scholarships. For every touchdown scored in the 8 conference games that UTSA plays in, you can donate a certain amount that will be multiplied by those touchdowns. So to give you an idea, last season we scored 33 touchdowns in conference play. So far we're up to 8 touchdowns last week. And the more touchdowns we score, the more money that goes to scholarships. So even though we already played 1 conference game, your pledge will be retroactive for all conference games. So you can still go sign up. Visit goutsa.com for more information and to sign up to pledge.
I love that. There's plenty of opportunities to give back to the university. And if you're a sports fan, what a great way to do this.
Cross country currently competing in the Arturo Barrios Invitational today in College Station. And then on November 1st, they will be at the American Conference Cross Country Championships. So hopefully they do well in both tournaments. Golf, men wrapped up their fall schedule last Tuesday. They finished 16th in the Trinity Forest Invitational. Women finished 7th at the Ron Moore Intercollegiate Tournament earlier this month and are going to be playing in the Jim West Challenge in San Marcos starting this Sunday. And this will be their last tournament of the fall. And then they all resume resume play in the spring at the end of January. Tennis, women wrapped up the ITA Texas Regional Championships earlier this week, had a very strong showing. Four Roadrunners made the main straw stage in individual play. Unfortunately, lost those matches. Did pretty decent in doubles play, but no championships there, unfortunately. Men currently playing in the ITA Texas Regionals, and then both men and women participating in the American Conference Championship starting next Thursday. So hopefully we can get a strong showing from both men's and women's tennis teams. Basketball, the season isn't quite here yet, more towards the end of the year, but there are some exhibition games that you can check out. The first one, or two, I should say, is next Saturday, both men's and women's basketball playing at the Convo. The women host Texas A&M San Antonio at 1, and the men host UIW at 3:30. And then we'll see more games in November. Soccer, they're doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually tied for second in the conference. Their last three games, they've had two ties, and then they got a 2-1 win against South Florida for their homecoming game last Thursday. So currently sitting at 7-2-5, and again, tied for second in the conference. They'll be back in action this Sunday on the road against Tulsa, but then they return home for their last two home games. Their first one is against Memphis next Thursday at 7, the final home game, and Senior Day next Sunday against East Carolina. That is at 1 p.m. Volleyball, currently 10-7, a couple back-to-back losses, but that's okay because they're back in action tonight. They're going to host Wichita State at the Convo. Game time is at 6, and they host East Carolina Sunday at 1 before they head out on three road games against Rice, Tulsa, and Tulane. So lots of action going on as some sports are winding down. We got basketball and other sports that are going to start picking up. So lots of reasons for you to go out, bring the family, support the Roadrunners.
I'm excited because you have two opportunities to see the volleyball team this weekend. So make sure you get out there, as you said, support all of the teams, but maybe I'll see you at the Convo.
And Melissa will be there. So be on look out for her. She'll be the one doing backflips and stuff. So
I don't know about that, but I can try.
But if we don't see you at those games, we'll definitely see you at the tailgates. Again, we'll be in Denton against North Texas this weekend. And then on the 30th when we host Tulane. So come out, have some fun. If you're not an alumni member, get your memberships because you get into the tailgates for free.
Right.
Complimentary food, drinks, swag from all our sponsors and supporters, and just a really good time. And again, the weather's great. Like no reason why you shouldn't be out there. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun on the 30th, a night game on a Thursday. So if you got some vacation time, maybe take that Friday off, 3-day weekend, right? Yeah. After a big, hopefully UTSA win.
There's plenty of ways to get involved. Also kind of keep your eyes out for our announcements on Dip Dash. I'm a little biased, but that's coming up real quick. So make sure you keep your eye out for that as well.
Yeah, that'll be here before you know it. But again, get involved with the Alumni Association. Lots of stuff to do on campus with the university. And if you haven't been in a while, probably a good time to go visit campus, check out the new statues, and it's a great time to be a Roadrunner. So thank you again to Amanda Sendejo for joining us on the podcast. More information in the show notes. Remember, subscribe, give us those 5-star ratings and reviews, and we'll see you on the next one. Birds up.
Birds up.